Let the torch of freedom burn.
Welcome to the intersection of faith and the culture. You found us here at Wall Builders. I'm Rick Green here with David Barton and Tim Barton. And we've got a third day of interviewing with Charlie Duke, Moonwalker, one of the Apollo Moonwalkers, only 12 that did that, and just a good friend of David Barton's and Wall Builders, and just really cool for us to have a special program like this, a little bit different from what you typically expect from the things we talk about here at Wall Builders, but it's, again, biblical application. It's being the best that you can be at everything that you do, as unto God, not unto men, and Charlie's just a great example of that, and even as an astronaut, able to give glory to God. So, guys, this is going to be fun. Final day with Charlie Duke.
And Rick, even just thinking back about yesterday, there were so many epiphanies for me. I know it's kind of common for Charlie because he was there and did it, but I had never, I don't think, realized that a day on the moon lasted for 2 weeks, that there was no sunset, and that the first of the day is like 85 degrees and it gets up to like 235. And, you know, so we heard that little clip about it being 135 degrees, and having a spacesuit that has a cooler in it, like a radiator running through it with all those hoses and all the water. I just had no clue that it was like that on the moon. So that 230-something pound Charlie in a spacesuit, that's pretty remarkable. So, well, we closed out yesterday with asking about the deniers in his generation and my generation, and he had answers for that. And so I know Tim wanted to ask him about deniers with the younger generation, because that is a growing kind of thing happening with the skepticism that's out there. So it'll be fun to see what happens with that.
Well, let's jump back in. This is Charlie Duke, our special guest here on Wall Builders.
Hey, Charlie, this is Tim Barton, and I've been listening in the studio as my dad has been asking questions and playing clips. And I want to address some of what you said, because I've grown up in a generation that is risingly and increasingly skeptical of a lot of things, especially if it comes from the government or from big tech or media. You know, frankly, over the last couple of years, so many people feel like they've just been lied to and betrayed by different politicians or leaders. And so, and especially since what seems to be so many conspiracy theories have turned out to be true on some level, there's a rising belief in a new generation that they're not getting any kind of evidence or defense that maybe could help them understand the reality of you guys going to the moon, because they'll say things like, well, if they really landed on the moon, why haven't we been back? Because we now have better technology, right? If it's a financial issue, look at the budget for the federal government. There's so much money, and there's just a lot of skepticism towards things going on. And I think what you just said is probably a great help for them to know where can we go find evidence has actually happened. You mentioned that there's satellites, there's images they could see, but maybe for someone who is maybe willfully ignorant, but maybe they're skeptical and they don't want to be misled or lied to again, but maybe they're open to information. How would you help navigate a rising generation that has maybe a healthy distrust of the federal government, but maybe has questions about the moon landing and maybe why haven't we gone back and technology and all those things? And I don't mean at all to be offensive at asking this, but I know this is an issue for a rising generation.
Well, there are a lot of reasons that you could prove that we went to the moon. We left laser reflectors up there, and they're bouncing off signals. And most of the people that say that it's not real, they use reasons like the flag is out blowing in the wind, and there's no atmosphere on the moon. Well, the flag isn't blowing. They're right. There is no atmosphere on the moon, so there's no wind. But the flag is held up by a curtain rod, and it was vacuum packed, and I couldn't pull the wrinkles out of it. And if you look at a picture I took right after we landed and put the flag up, and one that I took right before we left, the same wrinkles. And so you can tell it's not really blowing. Well, those are the reasons that people have. And, well, they photoshopped. Well, Photoshop wasn't even invented in 1972 when we went. That's technology that's later. And we haven't been back because they decided that we've learned a lot from the moon, and now we need to go to Earth orbit and do science. And so they built the space shuttle, which lasted for 32 years or so, and then they built the space station, which is still going. But NASA's finally looking at back to the moon, and this program's called Artemis, and they've already flown an unmanned flight back to the moon, and in a very strange orbit, but they've been back to the moon, and the first, they've got the moon crew, the 12 astronauts training right now to return to the moon on Artemis, and it should be 2 or 3 years away, probably, and we'll be back to the moon. So people, if you really look at the data and the rocks and the composition of the rocks and all of these little flimsy reasons that they have, they just need somebody to really explain it to them. And so I've tried my best. But think about it. If we faked it, why did we fake it 9 times?
It's such a good point. And I think very, very graciously have helped bring information to light that for people that want to know, they can find that information. As you've pointed out, there is so much ample information there, but sometimes we don't even know what questions to ask to know where to look. At Wall Builder, certainly, we try to help point people in the right direction to find truth about American history. And this is now one of those areas where people are questioning the truth. And so even the opportunity to talk with you is so helpful. And I'm very excited to hear that maybe in the next couple of years, there might be people going back to the moon, which now, Charlie, I'm assuming they're probably maybe even having conversations with you that you can maybe give briefs on some level of what you experienced. And maybe all that's recorded and they just watch those old interviews. But are you involved at all with any of the current programs to maybe go back to the moon?
I was consulting on the lunar car, the new car called the Lunar Terrain Vehicle. But I haven't talked to the astronaut, but I'm going to Houston next month, and I have a meeting set up with the astronaut office, and we're going to, I think it'll be the first of several meetings as I share my thoughts about their program and, the difficulties that they need to look for and the things they need to train about. And so I'm excited about it, and they're excited. Chief of the Astronaut Office, I've talked to him, and he's organizing hopefully a series of meetings that should start next month.
That's terrific.
Another big deal that, not a big deal, I think it's the craziest thing ever, the Flat Earth Society, the Earth flat. And I mean, how could anybody believe that? But that's another one of these things that's roaring around in the younger generation, that the Earth is really flat.
Okay, we need to take a quick break. We'll be right back here on the Wall Builder Show. Hey, this is Tim Barton with Wall Builders. And as you've had the opportunity to listen to Wall Builders Live, you've probably heard the wealth of information about our nation, about our spiritual heritage, about the religious liberties, about all the things that makes America exceptional. And you might be thinking, as incredible as this information is, I wish there was a way that I could get one of the Wall Builders guys to come to my area and share with my group, whether it be a church, whether it be a Christian school or public school or some political event or activity. If you're interested in having a Wall Builder speaker come to your area, you can get on our website at www.wallbuilders.com. And there's a tab for scheduling. And if you'll click on that tab, you'll notice there's a list of information from speakers' bios to events that are already going on. And there's a section where you can request an event to bring this information about who we are, where we came from, our religious liberties and freedoms. Go to the Wall Builders website and bring a speaker to your area. Welcome back to the Wall Builder Show. We are with special guest Charlie Duke. Charlie, thanks for being with us the last couple of days. I want to get back into asking you some questions. I think so much of it is that people, they feel they've been lied to on so many areas. And of course, Looking at some of the positions people take today where we don't even know the difference between a man and a woman, I understand why some people feel like they've been lied to. And I think on some level there is a healthy skepticism, but I also recognize when you remove a biblical foundation, you no longer have the objective reality to point to. And I think that's where so many questions are now entering society that did not used to be there, which actually, Charlie, makes me think of another question. We have, at Wall Builders, have we collected stuff from a lot of the NASA program and even some of the Apollo missions. One of the things that has really struck us is how many of the astronauts maybe had some foundation of faith, which maybe that was just America and that generation. Everybody had an awareness of God, but it's interesting. So many astronauts became pretty outspoken on some level about faith after having been to the moon or been in space. Did you encounter that at all? Was there a faith dynamic that caused you to grow in your faith, or did you see some of your astronaut friends grow in their faith as a result of having gone to the moon?
I did. Not me. I didn't have a spiritual experience or a philosophical experience. To me, it was an adventure. I was so busy enjoying it and having fun and doing my job, I didn't think about godly things. That came later for me, about 6 years later when I was born again. But Jim Irwin on Apollo 15, he was a committed Christian before he went. And when he came back, he started Half Life Foundation, and which was an evangelistic organization in Colorado Springs. And he ran it until he died. Buzz Aldrin had communion on the moon, and he was an elder in the Presbyterian Church. Wandered away a while, but now he's stable. And then the Apollo 8 crew that read Genesis, they were all quiet about their faith, but committed. I expect God honored that. Reading that, all three are still alive. It's only crew that has the all crew still alive.
Wow, that's amazing.
So like the flat Earth. You go to Scripture and God says in Isaiah that He sits above the circle of the Earth, and you can't have a flat circle. You look at it, and he said, Job, he said, when God made the earth, he suspended it upon nothing. And there it is, just hung up in the blackness of space. And every picture you see is a circle. Mm-hmm. It's a sphere. And those pictures can't be photoshopped. I mean, you just can't believe it, that it's a flat structure. And it's a sphere. And that's the way God made it. And I look at Scripture, and when God created the heavens and the earth, I believe the creation story. I believe that He hung it upon nothing, that He created it, and it hung in the whole universe. And the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of His hands. Day after day, the skies pour forth speech, and they speak to us. Mm-hmm. We look at the organization, and astrology now calls it the zodiac, but the Bible calls it the Maserah. And if you've read any of these books about the Christ and the stars, the Maserah starts with Virgin, the Virgo, the Virgin. And there's 12 signs in it, just like a zodiac, and it's the story of Jesus. And it's just fantastic, I think. And so we can read Scripture and have confidence that God speaks the truth to us.
Well, we absolutely agree, and we know the Bible gives direction. And I do think that so often we see people that have bad information, and when you have bad information, you draw wrong conclusions. And often, even in the political world, we then get bad political positions and political philosophy and laws, et cetera. But that again is part of why what we do at Wall Builders is try to present the truth of the matter. As much as we are able, we want to show people truth because we really know what the Bible tells us, that truth sets people free, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we want to present truth on every level and every front we can. And it's why we're so grateful to be able to talk with you and have this conversation. But Dad, I know you have a lot more you want to get to for this last couple minutes.
Yeah, Charlie, thanks for all the time, brother. And this is really fun. I don't know if everybody else enjoying it. I'm getting a lot out of this and I've learned a ton. And I kind of jotted down three questions just to kind of wrap on this thing. And they're kind of impression questions, but you look back over it. Is there anything that surprised you on that trip? What surprised you the most out of everything that happened on the trip?
I don't think I had any real surprises except
that's great.
We trained so well, so there's no surprises in the spacecraft except when we had that emergency.
Yeah.
It just was a thorough understanding of what we were going to do, and we trained so good. I guess the thing that surprised, looking back, was how well it went.
That's great.
We were so prepared.
So second question is, on a personal level, what amazed you the most about everything on that trip? Did anything really amaze you more than anything else?
I think my emotions amazed me. I never got tired of saying fantastic and golly, look at this and come over here, John, you know, all that stuff. It was just so exciting. Every time you turned around, every time you stopped, there was something that struck you, got your attention. And so it was just the amazement that amazement just never left.
And final question is, you know, now more than 50 years later, you look back on that, it's still really clear for you. Is there a single memory that is stronger with you than any other, or is it just the whole impression of everything?
I'd say the whole impression of everything. Probably the memory, if I had to pick one, it would be the landing on the moon. It was so dynamic. We were late landing. We didn't think we were going to get to land, and now here we are. And we're 20 feet off the moon and blowing dust everywhere. And then we had contact and engine stop, and we were on the moon. So that was probably the most memorable now, 50 years later.
Man, thank you, brother. We've appreciated your friendship across the years, and you're just so rock solid, and you and Dottie both. And we just thank you. And by the way, folks, Charlie's got a book out called Moonwalker. Great book. Get the book. It's a great depth, a lot further than we got into here. But, man, we sure appreciate you, Charlie. And I really appreciate hearing the fact that you're helping the next generation of astronauts as well. That's terrific.
I'm looking forward to that. And y'all are very special friends, David. So what the Wall Builders is doing is incalculable. You can't know the influence that y'all are having in society.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you. We love you. Say hi to Dottie for us. God bless you.
God bless y'all.
All right, guys, take a quick break. You're listening to Wall Builders.
This is Tim Barton from Wall Builders with another moment from American history. After the final victory at Yorktown, the Continental Army awaited the outcome of peace negotiations with Great Britain. Pastor Israel Evans, a chaplain in the Army, proposed to George Washington that they build a structure where church services could be held during the months of waiting. Washington approved the plan and urged his officers to ensure that the soldiers attended service. Pastor Evans further knew, if we were to secure the liberties they had fought for, sound education would be crucial. He declared, "Every parent and every friend to the freedom of his country ought to be attentive to the improvement of our youth in the principles of freedom and good government. And then the people will stand fast in their liberty for a long time. Our schools today need to return to teaching the principles of freedom and good government in order for America to survive and prosper." For more information about Pastor Israel Evans and other colonial patriots, go to wallbuilders.com.
Welcome back to Wall Builders. Thanks for staying with us. That was the conclusion of our interview with Charlie Duke. very special time over these last 3 days. All three programs available at our website today, and you can share that with your friends and family. And by the way, just a totally unrelated side note, we've got problems with the website. We know, folks, we've been under major attack. They've been trying to keep us from being able to get that good information out to you, and we're working hard on it. Be praying for us, and just, you know, it's kind of like one of those gremlin things, right? Help us, you know, be praying that God will help us to get this thing worked out quickly and deal with these bots and all these attacks from the left on our website, and just be patient out there. But still share it with your friends and family. We still want to keep people going to the website to get the radio program and getting good information. All right, guys, so we got to have Charlie for 3 days. We learned a lot about what it was like 51 years ago to be part of this. So, Tim, do you think we changed any minds of those deniers out there that might have been listening?
Well, I think he definitely gave great evidence of why it could be. You know, I mean, just thinking back over the 3 days, the big picture conversation, what we heard, even in my own mind, I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. It settled things in my own mind. You know, the notion, well, that would to claim something was Photoshopped. Photoshop didn't exist back then. Right. And so anyway, as he begins to unfold some of this stuff, well, it's one thing to fake it one time. Why do you fake it so many times? Right. Why would you continue to say the same fake story over and over and including more and more people in it? And you start to think this logically and you go, oh, yeah, it makes sense. And you know, kind of as you pointed out, it's like you have to be kind of dumb not to appreciate all the information that's there, all the evidence is there. But it's a little bit like we tell people with American history, we haven't been presented with the evidence for so long that we don't know how much evidence is there to support the very notion that this was a real deal. There really were people that went to the moon and walked on the moon. That was a real thing that happened. But if you don't know the evidence, we talk about it often, that the easiest way to believe a lie is not know the truth. And when you don't know the truth, then you don't realize, again, the support evidence that's there. So I thought it was very convincing and compelling. For lots of reasons, and especially, again, thinking over the context of the last 3 days, the conversation we've had, and then some of the very direct things that he identified kind of as the reality of why some of that would be a challenge. And even, you know, Dad, as you guys talked about, some of the things that were brought back, the rocks, some of the experiments that's been done with them, there's a lot of evidence. People just haven't heard all that information. So hopefully this gave some confidence to some of those people and a reason to maybe celebrate some of this accomplishment 51 years later.
You know, even from a family standpoint, we had opportunity to know about space program way back in the day. My grandfather, Tim's great-grandfather, was a rancher and had a ranch in Central Texas, but he was also a scientist. And he worked at the science lab at the University of Texas and their nuclear programs. And way back on the first Apollo space flight, Apollo 11, he invented a gravity meter that they took to the moon on Apollo 11. They left on the moon, and it broadcast back gravity readings. What was the gravity like on the moon for the next 7 years until the batteries went out on it? So we were involved in a family way in knowing that there was stuff going on the moon and seeing inventions that were created and part of it. So I don't guess I ever had the point of skepticism, because I knew people who were actually doing it, knew who they were, and knew what was out there. But for people who didn't have, you know, that insight or hadn't seen it, but I thought even what Charlie said, going back to what Tim mentioned, you know, Charlie talking about the fact that they left mirrors on the moon and we're still bouncing lasers off the moon today and still getting information off those lasers. That's a pretty interesting fact as well, and kind of knocking down some of that this is fake Hollywood kind of stuff. But just knowing Charlie, knowing his character, knowing who he is, he's not going to be part of something disingenuous like that nor perpetuate a lie for 51 years. And so hopefully that'll come back in. It's a really amazing time in American history where that, as he said, what did he say? They had 80K in the memory of the computers on the lunar module. 80K? Are you kidding? That's less than a low-resolution picture on a cell phone today. And that's what they were dealing with back then for the whole computer. So it's amazing to see the human ingenuity that was there back then. And, of course, there was a strong faith movement as well. The Apollo Prayer League was a really big deal. Apollo 1, as they're getting ready to go to the moon and starting the first missions to prepare for it, the astronauts in Apollo 1, their spacecraft blew up in a fire on a training pad, and they were all killed. And as a result, a bunch of the NASA employees got together and said, man, this is dangerous stuff. We need to be praying for the astronauts. And so they started the Apollo Prayer League which kept really serious prayer going for every Apollo mission. Werner von Braun, who had defected to America in World War II, took over our space program here. He's the guy who developed the ability to get us to the moon. He became a strong Christian when he was in West Texas, when they brought him from Germany to West Texas. He went to a church there, became a Christian. So there's a lot of faith guys there. And for those that don't know, actually on Apollo 14, they built an altar on the moon and left a Bible on the moon with Apollo 14. And Apollo 11, before Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong got out of the lunar module to step on the moon, first humans that in recorded history step on the moon, they actually had communion on the lunar module before they got off. So there's a strong spiritual element to what went on in the space program, and most folks have no idea about that today.
Well, guys, I think it was awesome that we got to talk to Charlie in the last 3 days. I can tell you I'm very excited for tomorrow, for Foundations of Freedom Thursday, where we can get into some of the stuff happening culturally. I've seen some great questions come in, things that we've been watching in the news the last couple days. I am excited, obviously, so grateful for Charlie and he and his wife, the whole family, appreciate them taking time. But I am ready. Let's start talking some of this politics and culture, biblical application, constitutional foundation. there's a lot going on right now.
Well, and as we always say, the Bible applies to everything in life, whether it be here on Earth or up on the moon. So we got to spend a few days on the moon, and it was exciting. But as you said, Tim, we'll get back to some of those cultural issues, applying that biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. Got some great questions out there. And folks, if you want to send one in, email it to us, radio@wallbuilders.com. That's radio@wallbuilders.com. Thanks to Charlie Duke for joining us all 3 days, and thank you for listening. You've been listening to Wall Builders.
Stand undivided forever.